See, we've got to change the way we think. He lived the type of life as an example for us to be able to live. He's created our bodies. One word can heal our body. It doesn't matter what's wrong with it. It doesn't matter what cancer came, what's broken. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, He spoke us into being to begin with. Every intricate part. And living in the kingdom, by the kingdom, takes both. Living in the kingdom and by the kingdom, we can live a supernatural life. But we have to believe that first, as we even sang this morning. We have to believe that. And I want to continue to challenge you to really get into the Gospels and read the words in red. The things that Jesus said, what He talked about, how He talked, and read about the things that Jesus did. Everything that He said and everything that He did, because He's our ultimate example. And He showed us how to live. And we can live just like He lived on the earth. Did you notice in the area of healing or deliverance, just by studying Jesus, that when a child, somebody that was under the authority of a parent, Jesus didn't just heal that child, He always went through the parent. You ever notice that? Once the parent gave Him authority, even with a slave, when the slave owner gave Jesus the authority, then that authority structure can flow. So parents, I want to encourage you. God has given children to parents, not the church, not the government, not the school district, not the neighborhood. He gave them to parents, and you have authority over their life, especially as long as they're living in your home. And you can be that key for their healing and for their deliverance. We understand the authority structure, get alignment with the structure that God has set up, and begin speaking life into our kids and not death. Healing and not sickness. See, a lot of times we'll speak sickness by the things we actually say and do. My kid's always going to be like this. Well, grandpa had this, grandma had this, I guess they have this now. And we just accept a lot of those natural things when God never created for us to live according to all of just the natural laws, but to live according to the kingdom laws. We are ambassadors for Christ. We belong to another nation, another kingdom. Amen. Well, the three of you that are standing, you could be seated. Bless the Lord. Our air conditioning unit needs some more healing. Our brand new system is not keeping up. We had them look at it again on Friday. There was a couple things wrong, but I still think there's a major thing wrong. We've already lost 5 or 6 degrees since we got here this morning. So we'll continue to look at that and get that straightened out. But I think we'll be out of here before it gets really warm in here. I mean, is anybody just warm? That's why we got some fans. Besides Joshua? Anybody? A few announcements. The teenagers are going on a camping trip this weekend. Yes, Friday through Sunday. They need to let you know. If you're here, because you're not going to be able to do this if you're not here. So if you're here, you need to let Noel know, confirm whether you're going to go or not. Okay. Hey, how many of you guys liked the last couple of weeks that you really enjoyed the format we had downstairs? Can you just keep your hand up for just a second? Okay, keep it up if you really, really liked it. Keep it up if you'd like to do it more often. Okay, good. That includes the food, the coffee, the tables, the whole thing. Yeah, because Beth is going to start bringing it every week. No, I'm just kidding. Step it up to biscuits and gravy and, yeah, the bagel bar. I think most of you, if you get our text messages and emails, already received this information. But for those of you that haven't, Kara, who is Jay Howard's niece, she's been coming here for just, I don't know, a month or two. And so I know a lot of people don't know her yet, but she has a child, Natalie, that was on Friday diagnosed with leukemia, and she's at Children's Mercy Hospital. What makes this even more rough, specifically for her, is Friday was the one-year anniversary that her son died from the exact same thing at the age of 12 years old. And Kara doesn't have much family. Les, which is Jay's dad, he comes every once in a while, and Jay is about the only family that she has. And so if you so felt led to either call her, we have her phone number, or go and visit her, encourage her, pray for her and Natalie, that would be welcomed in a great, great amount. So please keep her in prayer as well as Natalie, her daughter. Matter of fact, why don't we just pray for together? Why don't we just pray for her? I'd like to get somebody. Would somebody volunteer to lead us in a congregational prayer for Natalie? Thank you, Noelle. Here.
Jesus, I just ask that you would send your presence into that hospital room right now. God, I ask that you would come upon Natalie, that you would touch her with your presence. We speak healing to your body, Natalie, in the name of Jesus. We curse all leukemia. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and we say, go. Any curse that is on this family, we tell it to release in the name of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus is more powerful. God, I ask that your presence and your comfort would be with them both, that you would come and speak to both of their hearts. Jesus, I just ask that you would make yourself known in the night season while they're there and they feel alone. God, that you would come and encounter them in new ways, that we would experience your presence in new ways. And Jesus, I just thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I'm sure most of you have heard about the shooting in Colorado, Aurora, Colorado. And I'm from New York, and I learned this word, and I've said it ever since I was a kid, and I don't know how to say it anywhere, and that's theater. I know it, you're supposed to say it theater here, but I say theater. The shooting in the theater, that if you just pray for the families there and our nation, because our nation is obviously sick and in need of the Lord. We need revival and an awakening in the body of Christ. Glory be to God. Well, Renee, would you come? Renee's going to share for a little bit and give us a word from the Lord. Glory be to God. I like it when she teaches and preaches and prophesies.
On the topic of Natalie, she's the healed of the Lord, and we don't relent until we see the full manifestation of that in the natural. We have testimony after testimony. I just feel like I just have to get this in the atmosphere of our children that the enemy has tried to come and bring things on, and we have seen him move time and time again on the behalf of our children. Our children are our seed. They don't belong to darkness. They don't belong to the enemy. They belong to us in the kingdom of God. So Natalie will walk in the land of the living, and she will go on to fulfill the exploits of her God in her life and fulfill her destiny according to Jeremiah 29:11. We just release that over her. So I just, man, I tell you, we just, yeah, thank you. She knows where I want to go. All right. The other day I was sitting back on my deck and just looking at the trees and seeing all the signs of the drought in my yard. And I was noticing how some trees were doing fairly well and others were not. And I began to think, and I know the Lord had planted this thought in me, that those trees that have the deep root structures are able to weather the storm. But those that have the shallow root structures are under distress. And as it came to me, and I kind of just spoke that to the Lord, I said, oh, that's interesting. And the Lord says, that's how it is too with my people. And I went, oh. And I said, so what do you want me to say? And so I believe that the Lord is really wanting to encourage us that we need to extend the depths of our roots into him, into really the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the door into access. He's the kingdom, the access into the fullness of the kingdom of God. And that any area where we might be living shallow Christian lives, those days that we have to call as being over, to enter into the deeper things of God. We touched on this just a little bit on Wednesday night. And I just wanted to release some of these scriptures. Jeremiah 17:8 says that he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And that would be us with deep roots. Amen. Locked in to the stream of the living water, which is our God. Again, in Psalms 1:3, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree by the stream, and his leaf won't wither. Amen. And again, in Psalms 52:8, it said, but I'm like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. And olive trees, as you know, that they are, matter of fact, Ezekiel 47, it talks about how there's healing in the leaves, and the olive tree is known as its leaf to be used for medicinal healing for the natural body. So I believe that a lot of things that God talks about, both natural and spiritual healing and restoration. But I wanted to read something because I thought it was interesting. The day after we talked about just the shallowness of possible root systems, and how many of you guys know that a lot of times we don't even know if we are living shallow lives until the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. I mean, sometimes we know. I mean, sometimes some things are pretty obvious. But sometimes we don't even know when the Holy Spirit reveals it. So I believe that that is what he's doing. He's preparing us for any part of our life, our root structure that's not planted deep into him. He's showing us and revealing that and opening the way so that can happen. But this was released by a prophetic voice the day after Thursday morning. So we came Wednesday, we began to release some of this, the root structure and all of that. And then Thursday morning, this came out. And so I'm going to read some things that I've highlighted that just bear witness to what God was saying about that. This is a season of preparation. The Spirit of Truth is dealing deeply with believers, calling us to no one and to nothing but Jesus Christ himself, with a holiness and single-mindedness like we've never experienced. The Lord's people are being groomed to encounter him in the fiery cloud of his presence, and God will be found by and in all who are seeking him with their whole heart. Truly deep is calling into deep, and this is not the time to remain half-hearted and shallow. Now is the time to launch out into the deep and to cry out like the Apostle Paul that I may know him, to be conformed to his image and to carry his presence. The bride is being prepared to experience true union with Christ, to know him intimately in order to be like him in every aspect of our being, in spirit and in soul and in body. We're a three-part being. And the Spirit of Truth is highlighting purity and uprightness so we may walk in true holiness and fear of the Lord. The body of Christ is no longer satisfied with knowing our Lord as a doctrine of mental understanding. As the Lord responds to the hunger of his people, he is revealing the person of Jesus Christ in the inward parts of our spirit. And what we've understood with our head knowledge, we will begin to experience through spiritual revelation. We just release that now in Jesus' name over the people of God. And as the eyes of our heart become enlightened, our character and our lifestyle will be transformed. Integrity and honesty will become paramount. We will live each day in such a manner that greatly pleases the Lord. And as a result of this deeper consecration to the Lord, many will receive the divine strategies of this pivotal season. And we know God wants to release his divine strategies. So the Spirit of Truth is releasing revelatory insights for all who are willing to hear him with a heart that's set to obey him in what he's requesting. So prepare to see an acceleration of the advancing of God's plans and purposes. Hallelujah. God will have a people of purity and power who live and move and have their being in the absolute authority of Jesus Christ. So the Lord is calling us all to partner with him to shape the future of the kingdom of God. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are created to do good works which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. So as we move deeper into this season of sensitivity and revelatory enlightenment, we must never forget that our calling and our destiny, our chief aim, is to abide in our beloved Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes on him and him alone. And only in His light do we see light, and only in His presence do we obtain a happy and holy heart. So purity of heart and purity of motive is what is required if we are to behold the Lord. Divinely appointed leaders are emerging even now who have a single heart's goal to establish the King in the kingdom on the earth. The purity of heart is an absolute requirement for every believer and leader because we are entering into a season of signs and wonders on a level never before experienced, definitely not by us and definitely not by the church as a whole. Hallelujah. But we must be on the alert. The supernatural will be displayed not only from the Holy Spirit, but also from the dark side. Scripture warns us that in the last days, deception will be strong. Even though the enemy will attempt to deceive many, Christ Jesus will have for himself a people prepared to do good, great works. So this is not a time for any believer or leader in the body of Christ to be humdrum, expecting only what we have seen and experienced before. For we have never been where we are going now. So I just want to stop for just a second and say, you know, I just kind of feel like that some of us have unsure footing in the now, because we've never been here. So we're moving into a new season of operating in the Spirit and in the kingdom that isn't familiar to us. But I just want to encourage you that our unknown is God's known. And as we step into those new places in those seasons, then His grace comes and shows us how to operate in those seasons. So we must all prepare for what is ahead. The call to embrace the awe of the Almighty God. A wonderful, reverential fear of the Lord is returning to the people of God, releasing that much-needed wisdom of God. So I love this, how this prophet articulated what God was expressing to his body. So in the natural, there are ways that we know when the heat comes, the heat is on. That's what we felt like that the Lord was just showing us, the heat is on, both in the natural and the spirit. And there are ways that we can prepare and excel in the season of the heat and of the pressure. And just in the natural, we know with the heat and the drought, when it affects the Midwest, that means that food prices possibly could go up. So the wisdom of the Lord would say, hey, maybe we could stock up on a little bit of canned goods of things that might be affected, corn, beans, soybeans. You know, just the wisdom of the Lord. The wisdom of the Lord would say to be judicious and to protect like the natural resources as much as possible, not to waste water. But so there are natural wisdom that God would say about our circumstance that we can prepare, knowing that in seasons of drought, I mean, Joseph, he stored his grain, didn't he? He came into Egypt and he had a seven year drought. And what did God move upon Joseph to do? Store grain, save grain. So, you know, so there are natural things that the Lord would cause us to do. So just be sensitive to that. And then the spiritual things that he's calling us to do, which is the foundation of everything, is to grow roots deeper in the Lord. And honestly, how we do that, it's very practical. We renew our mind. That's the first step. Because the Bible's clear to tell us, do not be conformed to the image of this world. This world has a system of living. It has a system of seeing and believing and speaking. But God says we're not to be conformed to that image, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So it all starts with that, by renewing our mind on what God's word says about His nature and His character. And then what happens, His word comes down, it sinks down into our spirit. Jesus becomes more manifest because Jesus is the word. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. So He's the living word. So all this does is the Old Testament, it prophesies and speaks of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, it reveals and it opens up Jesus Christ. So what we do is we allow Jesus to be made manifest and be open to us in our spirit. Then what happens, He comes in and He roots out all those bad root structures or all that stuff in us. So we don't have to focus on all the ways that we might have shallow root structures or all the ways that we might feel like that we're falling short. But we focus on Jesus Christ, and then He becomes our strength in those areas. And we behold His goodness and His power and His authority, which all good things flow. Everything we need flows through that. So I just want to encourage you guys, we are really truly in lockstep, in alignment with what God's doing in this season. We really are. And so I just want to encourage you, better days are yet to come. We've entered into a time like we have never seen. And we know the earth is raging. We know nature is raging. We know everything is raging. But the word of God says that the earth is groaning for the manifestations of the sons and the daughters of God. So we come forth and we come with a plan in the kingdom and the word of the Lord into the earth to see everything established the way His plan and His purpose desires to accomplish, because He is jealous. God says He's jealous over the purposes of His heart, and He will perform those. So when His people align with His heart to get it done, there's absolutely no stopping the plan of God. And there's just, and I believe what He has revealed to my heart and why that hasn't happened on a bigger scale is His people just haven't believed Him, because they believed that why would God use me, or how could God use me? And that is such a lie from the enemy, because God can and wants to use each of us to manifest His presence on the earth. Each one of us. We are gifted, we are called, we are anointed, and we are equipped. And there's not one of us that God says that you're not worthy. Because through Jesus Christ, we have all been made worthy. So anyway, it's just really, I'm excited about where we are, and I just want to talk a little bit just about what the Lord said to me, just about the root structure, and that those with a deep root structure were going to actually be able to flourish and walk through the storm. And Jesus Christ, He is the true vine. We are the branches, and we're grafted in Him. We're going to bear much fruit. So, hallelujah.
Good. Yes. More of Renee. Amen. That was good. You know, droughts, storms, whatever, they reveal our building materials of our life. They reveal those things. The last couple days, I wanted to really begin talking this morning on walking in the Spirit of God and how we can practically walk in the Spirit of God. And this happened kind of yesterday, fairly late in the day. The Lord began to speak to me to kind of back up a little bit and get very foundational, fundamental, and basic. And so this morning, I jotted down a bunch of things in line with what He said. And so we may be starting talking about walking in the Spirit, but we're gonna do it at a very basic, fundamental level this morning. And we have been talking off and on, the last few weeks about changing our mentality, the way we think, specifically from a church mentality to a kingdom mentality. And Renee just quoted that scripture, Romans 12:1, that we are not to be conformed, which means be pressed and squeezed into the mold of the world's system, the world's way of thinking and doing business. But we are to be transformed, completely changed by the renewing of our mind. And once we become born again, we get a brand new spirit, but then it is up to us, and the Word of God tells us that we have to change the way we think. And we do that by learning more and more about the Lord, spending time and meditating in the Word of God, through prayer, through worship, all of these different things that we do in teaching, and begin to apply the Word of God into our life. And we take on a transformation. We become more and more like Christ in that process. And that it's very, very important that we do that once we become born again. If not, then really we become changed in our spirit. We become really a worldly, or what we might call a fleshly Christian. And we wonder why, when we have one foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world, that things just don't work. They don't function like you see in the Word of God. We don't get the results or see the fruit being bore from our life like God says that we are to have. But to renew your mind, to renew my mind, it's going to take effort, and it's going to take time. There's no other way to say it. I wish somebody could just lay their hand on me and dump it into me. I wish I could do that to others. It doesn't work that way. It's going to take time, and it's going to take effort. And if you don't give time and you don't give effort, it's just not going to happen. It just will not happen. There's a lot of things, but two of the main teachings that the Lord has given me revelation on in the last 10 years that I have been teaching in many different ways, and those two topics, those two areas of teaching are identity and ecclesia. that I have discovered in that process, and I wrote just a little bitty booklet about identity, and we have those. We've given them out to a lot of people. I've talked about it a lot, just in the last couple of years more so, about the kingdom and ecclesia and the revelation on that. But I have found and noticed something that it's made very little difference in people's lives, both of them. And I want to talk about one of the basic fundamental reasons why I believe that it has. Two things, really, and one we've just been discussing, and that's really changing the way we think. In church mentality, we're used to going to a place to have what we call church. We listen to somebody talk. Not very often do we actually take notes nor get the recording from it. And we forget what was actually said by the time we get home. Now, I know that's true because I do a lot of talking on Sundays. And a lot of times I forget what I've said later on by the time I get home. I've even had people ask me that day or the next day, what'd you talk about? And I'm like, you know, I got to think about that for a minute. And I'm the one that studied, prepared, and did it. And I also have listened to other people preach and teach, and I know that if I don't make it a purposeful event, that I will go over and over and over and get into the Word of God myself for what I've heard. I don't get it. Now, I'll tell you what I do get. I get enough knowledge where I can become dangerous, and then I can repeat what somebody else had revelation on, but it was never revelation to me, and I'm never really living it, and I don't have the authority and the power behind it to really make a difference. You following me? And so it takes time, and we have to be diligent in getting the Word of God in us, because God wants to give every one of us revelation. Revelation is revealed knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives us, whether it comes through any other means, another person, the radio, a video, whatever it comes through, that God wants to illuminate in our heart where we know that we know. It actually becomes part of us. Like I know my own name. There's no devil in hell that can talk me out of who what my name is. Because I know it. I know my name. And God wants us to know Him like we know that. So well, and know the things that He imparts to us, that we have it on the inside of us, we had revealed knowledge. Not that we've listened to somebody else that has revelation and then we go and try to repeat it. But we know it for ourselves. Rich, if you can start the first screen, the first slide of a PowerPoint. A disclaimer, I did the PowerPoint. And it was my first one that I've ever done in my whole life. And I just did it this morning. So give me a break a little bit as we go through this. You like the arrows? Yeah. I did find that they were already pre-programmed in the program, so I just had to click and move them. So that was good. I have discovered something a long time ago when I was a youth pastor. And I'll never forget this story. There was a young man in my youth group. I don't remember how old he was at the time, probably in the 13, 14 year range. His family was part of the church and had been for a number of years, ever since he was a little kid. So he basically grew up in church. He grew up in the children's ministry. They had a program that's an Assembly of God type of program, even though we weren't assembly there. That's called Frontier Cadets. He was part of the Frontier Cadet program. And then when he became old enough, when he became got into the seventh grade, he came into the youth group. And I don't remember exactly how much time went by, but a period of time. And one day he came to me and he said, "Pastor Joe, I've got to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And he said, "Can we go in the closet?" I said, "Okay." So we had a little closet in the youth room, and it had a bunch of junk in there, and it was fairly small. And he and I got in this closet, and he closed the door. And this is what he said: "I don't think I'm born again." I'm starting to bleed. And so we talked a little bit. And he said, "But I'm ready to give my life to the Lord." And I said, "Okay, we can do it right now." And I prayed for him. We prayed together. He accepted Christ into his heart. And here's what I learned from that. And I've talked about it quite often in different ways. That in this church mentality I've been talking about is we have integrated our children into church, into the system of church. Thank you. And we have taught them all kinds of Bible stories. And we've taught them worship songs. And we've taught them all of these kinds of... They have, for the most part, general statements, so don't throw tomatoes. For the most part, they have learned the system of church. Learned stories. They can repeat some stories. They've even mentally remembered some Bible scriptures that they can repeat, all of these types of things. But one thing that we have forgot to do, we have forgot to lead them into an encounter personally with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have told them that they're born again, that they're saved, that they're going to heaven. And they may be, but they may not be. And I came across some statistic. This has probably been 15 years ago now. I don't know what it is today. But in churches like ours, non-denominational, more, you know, that kind of a stream, that they have asked several questions in this survey, and they came out with the understanding that only 50% of people who are attending church on any given Sunday, in not just mainline denomination, but in the stream that we are in, whatever you want to call that, charismatic, kind of non-denominational, full gospel, whatever, I've never known what to call us. In that kind of stream, only 50% of people that go to church on a weekly basis are actually born again. And I don't ever take it for granted that when somebody comes in and says they're a Christian, that they're actually born again. I never take it for granted. Haven't for a number of years. I used to. But I genuinely ask questions. And if I'm, because when you're born again, there is at least some type of fruit that you will see. I'm not talking about that you're perfect and you do everything right and you're in ministry. I'm not talking about that. But when you have an encounter with God, the love of God, and you actually become born again, you've gotten a new heart, a new spirit, there's a definite change in you that is unmistakable, and you know it, and you won't ever forget it. But when that doesn't happen, and we have learned church stuff, we wonder, and I believe that it's been a lot of leadership fault, is because we've told people, yeah, you're born again. Even when people pray, you know what? I prayed the very first time. I wasn't born again when I prayed. I prayed with Pat Robertson on the TV, as a matter of fact. I wasn't born again then. When I was born again, which was nearly a year later, when I had an encounter with God in my bedroom by myself, he came in, and you know the story, and he hugged me like a little kid, and I knew I was changed. I knew I had an encounter with something. And I, from that moment forward, I began to think differently, and I was changed, and I wanted to know more about this God that loved me. And so I don't take it for granted that every one of you sitting in these chairs is actually born again. Even though you may have been raised in the church, you may know a lot of Bible. You may know the Bible better than me. The devil knows the Bible better than me. The most important thing we can do for our young kids, our teenagers, or an adult is lead them to an encounter with the living God. Number one, best thing, period. Not to a wonderful teaching, not to even a wonderful worship, so not any of those things are bad. They're not. They're all part of the kingdom living. But when it's only that. And so this first slide shows God the Father. The Bible says He is love. He just doesn't have love to give. He is. That's who He is. So therefore, anytime you encounter God, even in His wrath, you are encountering love. Okay? God expresses his love to all of humanity in many different ways. Chief among those ways is through his Son, Jesus Christ. He expressed love to all humanity, even though we were yet sinners, the Bible says. Christ died for us. When we were enemies of God, we weren't seeking him, living for him, doing anything to please him at all. But we're really living as a perversion of our creation. Even then, God expressed his deep love, affection, compassion, and care through his Son, Jesus Christ. God is love. Jesus, the Son, is also love in action. So everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did was pure love, unconditional love. Yes, even when he was calling the Pharisees and Sadducees hypocrites, it was love. Everything, when he went into the temple with a cord and was flashing that thing around and knocking over table and money going flying, he did that in love. See, many of us wouldn't even recognize that as love today, because too often it's emotional. We define love as emotional, caring, not a whip of cords coming in and kicking chairs over. But everything that Jesus did, that's why it's so important that we go into the Word of God and the Gospels and see everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did. Philip asked him a question. He said, if you would show us the Father, it would be good enough. Jesus said what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Bible also says that Jesus only did everything that he saw his Father do. So everything Jesus did was what God showed him to do. He said he only said everything that he heard the Father say. So everything Jesus said was what God told him to say. Exactly the way we're to live. So love from the Father through the Son to us and to all humanity. Can you go to the next slide? When our hearts receive the love of the Father, that changes us. That is the beginning of our transformation change. The Bible says, John 3:16 says that what? God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave Jesus. But why has not made an impact on every human being? See, there's people out there that'll tell you, even in the church world, that because Jesus did all this, everybody's saved. Everybody's going to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. It's those who have accepted and received Christ Jesus. Has been changed, been born again. So, God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son to every human being. If that is true, which is true, the Bible says it, then why hasn't it made an impact on every human being? Simply this. Not every human being has actually received the love that God has given. That's all there is to it. It's not trying to be a better person. It's not trying to go to church. It's not trying to do all of these things, which is very important. It's part of our life. But it's simply receiving the love of Christ. It's just receiving it. So simple, but yet so difficult. When we receive it, we're entering into a love. I just like to name it, not a relationship with the Lord, but a love relationship with the Lord. Because now with the blue arrows going up, not only did love come to me and I accept it, but now with the blue, I'm able to return it. Before I accept it, I can't return it. You and I cannot give anything that we have not received first. Even in the Ten Commandments, the number one commandment, God says to love God. Jesus even said, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love God. To love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with your whole being. Love God. But there's a prerequisite to loving God. You've got to first receive love. If you don't receive his love, you don't have anything but your own weak, fleshly, conditional love to return to God. And how many of you know that type of love changes with our emotions and how we feel from day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour? But when you receive the love of the Father, you are now enabled to be able to love him in return. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And the second is just like it. If you can turn to the next slide, Rich. The second is just like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'll never forget this. Several years back, the Lord, how many of you read that so often? You read that kind of that scripture. And I remember one day I was reading it, and the Lord just impressed on me that word, self. It just, illuminated it in my heart. Because often, when we quote that scripture, we talk about loving our neighbor. We leave off the self part. In other words, what he was telling me that if I'm receiving the love of the Father, I'm now enabled to love him back, but I'm also, as I receive his love into me, I am beginning now to have a healthy, biblical, truth, love of myself. Because the way you see yourself, how you love yourself, gets projected into our relationships with others. Let that hit your soul. That alone will answer many of our relationship issues. If we do not see ourselves the way God sees us with his type of love, we are unable to love ourselves correctly. We are unable to love others like God says to love them. But when we're receiving his love and we're able now, because the Bible also says we love God, why? Because he first loved us. See, the religious legalistic mind just says we got to love God. They don't contemplate the receiving of the love first. That we're able to, because what he gives us, that's what we're able to give. What we receive from him is what we're able to give. Okay, if you can turn to the next slide. Faith. You know the Bible says faith works by love? This could answer a question why our faith isn't there or very strong. Jesus said, look, if you've been born again, you've had that love relationship, that change on the inside of the being born again, I've given you the measure of faith. You already have a measure of faith. But see, if we're not operating in love, because everything is centered around love, if we can name the kingdom of God anything, it's the kingdom of love. Because everything works outward. That might be a good slide too. Outward from that love center. You guys are going to get me hooked on this PowerPoint thing, and I'm going to get to be a freak about it. Lots of love. The center of love, everything works by love, because faith is simply having trust in God, which, next slide please, leads to our obedience. The legalistic mindset, the religious mindset says, oh, you got to obey God, you got to obey God, but they leave out the love part. You got to have faith, man. You just need more faith. Just keep reading the word. Just keep doing this. Just keep that. No, develop a love relationship with the Lord. And if you've never had an encounter with God and had the love of God shed abroad in your heart, you have no basis to work from. You really don't, other than legalism. And that's a pure drag. It's oppressive. It causes depression. It causes shame and guilt and fear. Exactly what Jesus came to deliver us from. Why would I want to go back and add more to it? It's horrible. God and Jesus loves us. We're able to return that love, and now we're able to also love others and ourself, and we're able to walk in a greater amount of faith, and we're actually able to be obedient. Why? Because if we are in faith, we're obedient. It's not being obedient for obedience' sake. It's not being obedient because God's going to get you. It's not being obedient because something bad might happen to you and walking in fear, but in love. I don't even remember what the next slide is, but go ahead. God the Father is love. Jesus the Son is the expression of love. If you don't receive the love of God, but you've been churched, here's what you have. You have knowledge. You have knowledge of God. Now, as soon as I get a drink of water, I'm going to illustrate something. What if I didn't know Renee? Let's just say I didn't know her. We weren't married, never dated. And Wyatt and I were friends. That's what happens when you sit close to the front. Not that you become my friend, but used as an illustration. Say, Wyatt and I are friends, and he knows Renee. And he talks to me one day and says, hey, I know this girl named Renee, and let me tell you about her. And so Wyatt tells me about her, and I get interested. I'm interested in this girl. And so every week, Wyatt and I get together, and every week Wyatt tells me about this girl named Renee. And I'm really intrigued, and he's telling me more and more about this girl, Renee. And then one of those weeks, he hands me a book. And this book is all about Renee. And so I take this book home, and I begin to read this book about Renee. And then Wyatt says, you know what might be really helpful too is if you come to this meeting on Sunday mornings, and because they talk about Renee. And so I said, okay, well, I'm really interested. And so I start showing up on Sundays at 10 o'clock, and man, there's a band in there, and they start playing music, and they're singing songs about Renee. And so I'm now singing songs about Renee. And Wyatt and I keep meeting, and he also says, you know, we ought to go to this small group. There's a small group of men that meet on Thursday nights, and I think you'd really like this. And I said, well, what do they talk about? And Wyatt says, they talk about Renee. And I said, well, I'm pretty intrigued, and I'd like to learn more. So now I'm going to a small group, and they're talking about Renee. So I've got a book I'm reading about Renee. He's talking to me about Renee. He takes me to a small group, and now I'm going to this meeting every Sunday. They're singing about Renee, and I'm hearing messages preached about Renee. And this goes on for weeks. That turned into months. That turned into years. And I know Renee. Because I went to class. I've gone to conferences. I have ordered DVDs and CDs about Renee. I've even seen some artwork that these prophetic people have drawn a picture of Renee. Boy, I know her. I know her really good. The one problem. Why, it's Mary Turner. That was good. I'll be using somebody else for an illustration next time. That was funny. That was good. Yeah. There's only one problem. I've never met Renee. I've never heard her voice. I've never felt her embrace. I've never really heard her just talk about me, what she thinks of me. But I know all about her. But I really don't know her. See, when Renee and I were dating, I wanted to be around her a lot. She lived one place, I lived another. But I was in love. I'm going to be presumptuous and say she was too. With me. I better add that. When I left her presence, I wanted to be with her presence, and I was looking forward to the next time we got together. One day we got married. Now we're together all the time. Most of the time. At work and occasional this and that. But we're together all of the time. It's not good enough to have a book about Renee, to sing songs about Renee, to hear other people talk about Renee, but to encounter her. Did you have something, or were you praising the Lord? Not if you're talking about Renee. No, especially if you're talking about Renee. And because I have encountered the person of Renee, even another human being like she is, I'm changed. I'm different now, even by her influence and our togetherness. But especially you young people, I want to talk to you for just a second. It's good to learn about God, to sing songs to Him, to get as much teaching as you possibly can. But there's nothing that will change you more than having a real encounter with the person of God. That will change your heart. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your destiny, your purpose, your identity of who you really are. It'll change everything about you for the better, I might add. It'll give you what you're looking for, the hope, the security, the peace, the passion, what life is worth living for, the excitement, the joy. Jesus said this, actually the Bible says this in John 10:10, that Jesus came to give you life, and that life more abundant. Not just an existence of trying to grope in the dark and find your way through life, but to give you a quality of life, an abundant amount of life. Adults, the same thing. You might have been going to church your whole life. I talked to somebody just recently last week, not from here, not in here, not in this room. They've been trying to learn about God. They even want to be in ministry, and they like all the things about God, but they've never encountered Him. They've never even been born again. See, without that, the Bible is not just a book. It's living, it's life, it's spirit. Bible says a natural man, that is one that has never been born again, is not even able to receive the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. They don't make sense. But to have that encounter with God. Is there any more slides? I don't remember. There is? Okay, we can go on through that one. I already talked about that. If you're not receiving the love of God, you can't give the love back to others. You like the arrows with the cross? The X? Therefore, no, stay with the other one. This will be the last one. You're unable to love others and love yourself correctly. Your faith, at very best, will be inconsistent. Obedience, at very best, will be inconsistent. Your love for others, at the very best, will be very inconsistent. Because we did not have a love encounter with the person of God. There's nothing more radical, more life-changing. Notice this one last thing. When Jesus chose His disciples who He turned into apostles, He went to them face to face and He said, "Come, follow Me." He didn't speak through somebody else and say, "Hey, go to class to learn about Me." Nothing wrong with going to class to learn about God. But in Mark chapter 2, it says that He chose His disciples first and foremost so that He can be with them. And then secondly, so He can send them out to preach and to cast out demons. But to learn to be with God, to know Him, to have that love encounter, for our hearts to change. Maybe this morning you're here and you've never had that type of an encounter. Today's your day. This is the hour that you can have that kind of encounter. See, when people have explained it to me in the past, I thought, man, my hair's going to get on fire and angels are going to appear and some wild, wacky thing. No, God just wants to come in love. He just wants you to accept His love unconditionally. And you know, that's difficult sometimes for many people. especially when you didn't have a dad that really loved or cared for you, or a mom, or other figures in your life, leaders in your life. But could you just open your heart up this morning? Because this is really the first step to walking a supernatural life, to walking in the kingdom, to living according to the kingdom, to knowing who you are, why you're here, and where you're going, to fulfilling the destiny that God has created you to fill. There's nothing more glorious than that. Knowing Him and walking with Him and fulfilling the destiny. That when you come to the end of your days, and it doesn't matter how old you are today or how young, that you can come to the end of your days and say, it's finished. I have done everything that God has called me to do. So if you've never had that encounter, I just invite you to open your heart. How do you do that? Just say, God, I just want you, period. I just want you. However you verbalize it and however you talk and your own personality, God, I just want you. I want all of you. I want to encounter you, the love of God. I want to have that love encounter with you. And I want to know you. Now I'm just going to ask you just to, if that's you, if you really want that type of an encounter and you've never really had that kind of encounter, would you just raise your hand and say, you know what, I want that encounter. I'm not going to drag you up front. I just want you to acknowledge it. Just to have the boldness to say, you know what, I want the encounter of God this morning. I want that love relationship. See, there's a huge difference between having a love relationship and an emotional relationship. Huge. See, an emotional relationship makes you feel good for the moment, but then it wanes. It wears off. And then you need that next emotional high. So you have to go somewhere or do something to get it, whether it's through singing or hearing it preached or getting into the Bible, whatever it might be, to get that emotional thing going again. And then it wanes. And all of a sudden you're up and you're down, you're up and you're down, you're up and down. And it's an emotional roller coaster. But when you have a love encounter with God and you've been changed by the love of God, emotions are attached, but they're not the primary driving force. Thank God for emotions. God gave them to us to enjoy and to experience. Since I haven't seen one hand, then I'm going to assume that every one of you in this room has a love relationship with the Lord. You have been loved by God. You know God loves you, accepts you for who you are. And everything you do and say is motivated from that love. I assume that. Everything. I wanted to throw a hook in there. Praise the Lord. Can you all stand, please? Yeah, Noel.
I just wanted to talk about the character of God for a minute. It kind of ties into what I was talking about last week, but I know I grew up with an opinion of God that He's mostly mad and mostly sad all the time, at least towards me. And I could never approach Him because He's mostly sad and He's mostly mad at me all the time. But then I started reading about Jesus, and David prophesied, and it talks about it, I think it's in Hebrews, I'm not really sure, about how Jesus was anointed with oil of gladness more than any of His other companions. So what the Bible is saying is Jesus was the happiest man on earth. Like, He was the happiest, most glad, cheerful man on the planet. And if He's the perfect representation of the Father, then the Father is the most happy and joyful God that you can imagine. He's not sitting up there with a hammer waiting to smash you. He's fully delighted and He likes you. Like, there's a difference between a God that loves you because He has to, because He is love, and that mindset in your head, and actually believing that Jesus likes you, that God likes you, that you're actually likable to Him.
And it's a war and it's a fight to actually get there, because our mind has been bombarded by the enemy in this whole entire world that has tried to program you into believing that he doesn't. And it really is a fight to actually sit there and verbally and continually say, no, he likes me, he's proud of me, and he loves me, and to actually speak that over yourself over and over and over and over, because that's what will actually change you. That's where the encounter comes, is when you're actually like, I'm going to step into faith at this moment in time and actually believe what you say about me, because if I don't, I'm actually calling you a liar. And so I just want to call all of us to actually like stepping into faith and believing who he says that we are, which is an active pursuit of saying, no, you like me. I'm going to take that thought captive that says I'm stupid, and I'm going to tell it that it's a lie, and to get out of my head in the name of Jesus and to rebuke it and to actually call in light of who I am. Because Ephesians 1, like if you need something to soak in, soak in Ephesians 1. It talks all about who we are. And just sit there and marinate and take those scriptures, those little tiny things that say, I know I am the righteousness of Christ. And it doesn't even make sense to your heart in the moment, but keep saying it and saying it and saying it, and it will transform you. I promise.
Very good. That's good. You know, even though we do, you know, are born again, through circumstances and situations of life, we can get to the place that Noel was just talking about, where our perception of God gets very skewed. And we base it a lot of times on a human response instead of a God response. How he views us, how he talks, how he acts towards us. And that's just what Noel said is so good. If we have lost, if we've been born again, but in that process we've lost that encounter, that love encounter with God. And it's easy to do sometimes. And all of a sudden we just get into the motions of doing churchy things. That to return to the Father, and to really get it, to have that mindset change of who God says you are. And it does. And like Noel says, it does take effort. It does take work, and it takes time sometimes. Especially if you've been beat down most of your life. You've been told negative things over your life. You've been told you're a failure, that you'll never amount to much. But that's not who God says you are. That's not what destiny God has for you. But if you've never been born again to begin with, you don't even have a place to actually start and just say, God, I need you. I want you. I don't know where I'm at here. Let's pray together and then we'll be dismissed. God, I just thank you so much for your love. And that, God, we don't just have a one-time love encounter with you, but we have a daily, moment by moment, hour by hour love relationship with you. And that everything, our relationship and everything functions out of that center of love. That unconditional. You don't love me because of what I've done or what I've said. But you love me for who I am. I just want to invite you to say that today. Would you say that? God, I know that you love me for who I am. Thank you, Lord. To you be all the glory, the power, and the authority. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. This was important this morning, because some of the things we're going to talk about from here forward, this is the first step. So much of what we'll be talking about won't make any sense without this. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the 100+ degrees for the next few days. It won't last forever, so just